Welcome to Grace in the Shadows. This is Dr. Marla Beeler and
Dr. J.
Dr. Jonathan Beeler. Well, hello, everybody. Hope you are doing well today. We want to give a quick shout out to Wesley Chapel, Florida.
Okay. Beautiful place.
Yeah.
Beautiful place.
Get out that RV. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You can check us out at graceintheshadows.org. You can text or call 251-244-4645. Or you can email us at drjonathan@graceintheshadows.org.
Okay, I got some for you.
Yes, you do.
Why did the computer catch a cold?
Because it had a virus.
Well, that's a good one, but that's not the answer.
Oh.
That's a good one.
Well, thank you. Thank
it
you.
Left the window open.
Oh, my word. Yeah. Okay, that was kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you cook an alligator?
I don't know.
With a crock pot.
Oh, my word. Where do you find these? All right. Well, let's move on. Today is May the 9th, 2024. And on this day in 1914, Mother's Day became a public holiday. Mm-hmm. And this is your reminder. Mother's Day is Sunday. Don't forget.
Don't forget your mother.
That's right. It's also graduation for our youngest. So,
yes.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Congratulations, Gabriel.
Yes. And congratulations to all the graduates.
Graduates.
Out there. Yes. Graduation season. All right. In 1984, on this day, it took the Chicago White Sox 25 innings, 8 hours and 6 minutes over 2 days to finally defeat the Milwaukee Brewers 7-6. It was the longest game in elapsed time in Major League history.
That's pretty nifty.
Did you watch it?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. So what's our topic today?
We're going to look at the Transfiguration, kind of how the Transfiguration shows Jesus is the Messiah and he's God.
All right. Let's do it.
So, you know, in Matthew 17:1-9, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain. Many people think this mountain is probably could have been two different mountains.
Oh.
The early church believed it was Mount Tabor. Mm-hmm. Mount Tabor, however, there's some evidence that there was kind of a, you know, make money. This is where the Mount of Transfiguration was,
yeah.
And we'll, you know, collect some capital and gotcha. Make a little profit.
Right.
And some people, I tend to take the view it's Mount Hermon.
Okay.
Unlike Mount Tabor, Mount Tabor is about 1,800 feet high, which is not a high mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the flat land where it was around, it is. But Mount Hermon, which I believe it was, mm-hmm. Most likely, is about 10,000 feet high. And I think it probably occurred there. It doesn't say the mountain.
Okay.
Doesn't say the mountain. But this is where Jesus is transfigured
mm-hmm.
and his glory is shown in front of James, John, and Peter.
Cool.
Yeah.
Such a cool thing.
Go ahead and read from Luke. It's in three different gospels,
okay.
Synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
All right.
Read from Luke chapter 9:28-36.
About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up into the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying.
Mm.
While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen.
So this is interesting. As you know, this is a foreglimpse. Foreshadowing of the second coming of Christ.
Yes.
Peter mentions this in one of his writings about how they saw mm-hmm. him in his glory. And this is what he's talking about. The first thing we see is divine radiance here.
Mm.
During the Transfiguration, Jesus, his appearance changes.
Right.
And his face shines like the sun, his mm-hmm. clothes dazzling white. This radiant transformation is seen as a manifestation of his divine glory. his divine nature. And we see this manifested of Jesus's glory. And this is what he will appear in the second coming.
Very true.
In all his glory. And I think we all need a glimpse of the majesty of Lord Jesus Christ. We can, you know, oftentimes get his humanity and not totally focus on his deity.
Right. I agree.
He's fully God and fully man. And we need a glimpse like Moses and Elijah, like Peter, James, and John,
mm-hmm.
of his majesty.
I agree.
The second thing we see here is the presence of Moses and Elijah. You know, I think we know the Old Testament says in Malachi that Elijah, before Jesus, the Messiah, returns, will come. Mm. And many people, including myself, believe the two witnesses in Revelation is Moses and Elijah. And I think this backs that up.
Mm-hmm.
Because Moses and Elijah are affirming Jesus's ministry, affirming Jesus's deity, and they're also representative. Moses represents the law, the Torah. Mm. Elijah represents the prophets, and their presence symbolizes that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, indicating his divine authority and the role of God's plan in history to bring salvation to the world.
I've never thought about that. That I can see like the word picture playing out right there. That's good.
Yeah. I think this is an excellent, excellent thing.
Definitely.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of?
No, I mean, I've always wondered, well, why Moses, why Elijah, but you just explained it very well.
Yeah. Luke 9:30-31 tells us that it was Calvary and Moses and Elijah that spoke to Jesus, what he was about to accomplish at Calvary.
True.
And this was an awesome thing. And the disciples didn't get it.
No, they didn't. Especially old Peter.
And I'm not saying I would have.
No, I mean, wouldn't have either. I mean, it would be shocking. It says they're really sleepy, and then all of a sudden they're really awake and they see all this. So, yeah, they were probably feeling pretty weird right then.
A voice from heaven. Number three, a voice from heaven. In Matthew and Mark's account, a voice comes from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him."
Right.
And this voice traditionally is understood to be God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt it's God the Father, affirming Jesus's divine sonship.
But what's kind of funny is Peter's talking and all of a sudden, while he was speaking, so God's basically saying, "Okay, Peter, it's time to be quiet. Let me talk."
Isn't that right?
I love it.
He interrupted Peter.
He did.
Yeah. It's funny, actually.
It is funny.
Yeah.
It is funny. I love old Peter.
And Peter, they didn't know what to do. They wanted to make tents for everyone.
Let's just stay up here on the mountain. Yeah. And don't we do that, though, when we have those mountaintop experiences? We just kind of want to hang out there and just stay there. And it's in the valley when we grow.
Yes.
But we want to stay on the mountaintop and not face the hard things. And I think that's what kind of Peter is trying to say here. But as it says, he didn't know what he was saying. And God's just like, "Okay, Peter, it's time to stop talking. My turn."
And, you know, we want to do something. God's saying, "Listen to him."
Yeah, listen.
"Be still and know that I'm God."
Yes.
"This is my son. Listen to him."
Yeah.
"He's not just another man."
No.
"He is my son."
Yeah.
"And he's greater than a man." Don't put him on the same level, Peter.
Right.
Or anyone else for that matter.
True, true.
Yeah. The reaction of the disciples, they were scared.
They were scared.
It's understandable.
Absolutely. I think I would be a little scared too. Absolutely.
If you read Revelation, when he's presented, and he's presented in this way, in all his glory, it's awe-invoking.
Definitely.
And it's terrifying in a good way.
Right, right.
For the believer.
Yes.
Yeah. The confirmation of Jesus' predictions. Prior to transfiguration, Jesus predicted his suffering, death, resurrection, and the transfiguration serves as a confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing we can learn from this.
Mm-hmm.
Is we have a hope that we will someday recognize the loved ones that have passed on to glory.
That's true, because, you know, Jesus didn't have to say, "Hey, this is Elijah and this is Moses." They just knew, right?
Precisely.
Cool.
Yeah. And so, you know, our relatives and people that have gone on before that we never met in person.
Right.
We are going to know them.
I love that.
And this affirms that. And this is very encouraging, I believe.
I agree.
To the believer.
Yeah.
And it's encouraging to those that don't believe to become a believer so that they can be a part of this.
Most definitely. And if you're one of those people listening, please make this day the day that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
Yeah. Yeah. And so by all this, we know there's a future. We know by the changed lives of Peter, James, and John mm-hmm. and all the disciples mm-hmm. that this is just a exclamation point. It's true. Yeah. It's valid. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah. And the world is not falling apart for the believer. It's falling in place.
I love that. I love that. And I love how they were able to experience this. And like you said, it's written about in the three of the gospels, and you see them right there with Jesus experiencing this. Can you imagine being there with them?
I can. I mean, you know, I don't think I would have behaved any much differently than them.
God would say, okay, be quiet, Jonathan.
Yeah. I mean, they saw him in his glory and they never forgot it.
No, they didn't. They never forgot it. And I'm sure they told it to their children and their grandchildren. And it was just an amazing thing to say, hey, I saw Jesus like he will be when he comes back.
And I think if you're listening out there and you're discouraged, mm-hmm. the Mount of Transfiguration is just a foreglimpse mm-hmm. of God's glory. And we will be a part and we will be like him
Amen.
In his glory.
Yes.
And so this is another of many examples of how God can take your mess, turn to a message for his glory, for your good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Goodbye.